Just look at me now. I've been crying because I love you. I wonder why can't you see?
All right, welcome back to Hoopus on the Radio. As all of you know, the Wolves made a trade this week with the Clippers for Quinton Richardson. Mark Madsen, Craig Smith, and Sebastian Telfair were sent the other way. What was your favorite Mark Madsen moment?
I got to go with the 05-06 Memphis game. I mean, I was sitting there, and a couple of buddies and I, you know, had a few drinks with us, and we got down to the lower level. And, you know, also that game, I was heckling the janitor, Brian Card, or excuse me, the janitor, the custodian, pretty heavily that game. And, yeah, I mean, you know, we knew we were tanking, and it was embarrassing, but a couple of guys with a couple of drinks in them who snuck down to the lower level were having a good time watching Mad Dog jack up seven trays and go 1 for 15 from the field.
Now, I can't remember. I think, is that the game that we went to where we saw former DFL Senate Majority Leader Dean Johnson right in front of us, and we heckled him about his little run-in with the Supreme Court Justice?
I believe that might have been a different game.
Okay, that was next year. Because I remember heckling him after a few drinks.
And we did end the season 2 years in a row against the Grizzlies. That's true.
Yeah, so that may have been the one after, because I was also at that game with Mattson. And I remember going down, you know, it was easy to sneak down near courtside. And you could just hear, you know, there was laughter from the players. You could tell Memphis was getting a little upset about it because they were in a position where they wanted to lose, because otherwise they would have to face Dallas in the first round. And they Pau Gasol, they sat Eddie Jones. Their starters played something like 18 to 20 minutes apiece. And, you know, Brian Cardinal was out there trying to jack up shots. So, I mean, it was just an embarrassment.
Yeah. And it was.
Oh, go ahead.
Nah, I got nothing else.
You know, I could never be a radio host. I just would never get past that moment where you walk down something where you say something silly, and then you just can't walk it back, and then you're just sitting there with dead air.
Yep.
No, could not do it at all. Beyond that, I really don't think that there's much. You know, Madsen had that nice – I think the 03-04 year was such a good year, and everyone had such good feelings about that. And, you know, everyone likes him sort of standing up on the end of the bench, waving the towel. And beyond that, I just really don't think he had anything to offer at any point in his career here as far as on-the-court ability.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the stuff that he brings, the basketball skills that he brings are a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find guys who can board like hell and run the floor and put up bricks. I couldn't do that. I couldn't board like hell. But you can find those guys in the NBA.
I think you could go 1 for 15.
I might be able to go 1 for 15. I've got some crafty moves. So I am Allen Iverson's size. I'm 6'1", 185. So I pretty much like to pattern my game after Iverson.
Well, it got to the point in that game where, I mean, he could have put up sky hooks over his shoulder from the 3-point line, and no one would have really batted an eye. I mean, it got to the point where it was that bad.
Well, and the coach wouldn't have yanked him. I mean, that's the thing. Obviously, if you have Mark Madsen out there shooting 7 3-pointers,
five
obviously
overtime.
Obviously the coach gave him a green light. So it's, you know, that's never been Mad Dog's fault, you know. The coach put him out there and gave him the green light to do that stuff. And if you put a player like Madsen out there who can't shoot and you allow him to shoot 7 threes, that's obviously coming from the bench.
I've always blamed him sort of for having so much fun with it and for not realizing that it was embarrassing. There's something to be said about following orders, but there's also something to be said about having enough self-awareness where you realize that that sort of activity is really, it doesn't look good, and that you shouldn't be engaged in it. So I've always kind of blamed him for that. And I've always wanted to get the timeline down of, you know, I know that Glenn Taylor had an issue with Dwayne Casey near the end about losing control of the locker room and whether that had anything to do with it, the end of that season, kind of playing into the next. And sort of, was that game sort of the beginning of the end as far as losing the locker room?
Mm-hmm. I think the thing about Madsen is, you know, I was talking about how his basketball skills, you can replicate those anywhere. You can get those anywhere. There's a million D-League guys who would play just as hard. But it's his personality and his attitude that really were the value. And, you know, that stuff's not really replaceable in the NBA. But it also doesn't win you games necessarily.
Mm-hmm. He was also kind of interesting, I think, in that he brought a little more of the off-court stuff, in that I remember we had a little thing about how much should you talk about politics with players when he made a donation to the anti-gay marriage proposal in California.
The Prop 8, yeah.
And, that always really rubbed me the wrong way. And I don't think we really dealt with it in terms of addressing the issue, but we more talked about it in terms of when does a player's politics come into, you know, whether you like the guy or not. And he really kind of walked a fine line with me on that one. Basically, I view it as a civil rights issue. So that was kind of tough for me to deal with that. And maybe that colors my view of him along with the throne game. But I always thought that he was a really interesting case about why fans liked the guy. Because really, if you look at it, it wasn't because of talent. It wasn't really because of anything he did on the court. He threw a game. And, you know, depending on your political leanings, you know, he did some really questionable things off the court. So I always thought he was more of a just an interesting character that really didn't get looked into into a whole lot of depth, and that it would have been interesting to have more more articles fleshing him out, because I think he would have he's smart enough where it would have been interesting.
Absolutely, and you know, he does the personality with the fans. If you go early enough where you can see pregame, which I guess I don't do anymore, we're always doing happy hour or something, but if you go see pregame, you know, Mad Dog's down there, he'll shake hands with anybody. Mm-hmm. He's you know, he's out there interacting with fans, and you know, that in and of itself is a rarity, and the Wolves certainly could use fans. I just read an article on CBS Sports about we were the worst what was it, paid attendance or was it actual attendance? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. We switched off with Memphis. We were set worse than one and worse than the other, so we could certainly use the fans. You know, I mean, getting back to the trade, Madsen is, you know, one of the three components where we didn't lose a whole lot. It's always tough to see your own players go, and I liked all three players we had.
Yeah.
And I thought before this thought maybe we could have gotten a little more value for a guy like Smith, especially. But, you know, in the end, I think we'll be able to turn Quentin Richardson into something more valuable than those three guys would have been for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've always been kind of indifferent towards Smith. I never really got his role on the club, especially now with Love, Jefferson, Sungalia, you know, whoever else you have in that power forward role. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over what he brings, you know, what he brought to the table. He was a solid bench player. I think he'll actually find a good role in Los Angeles, you know, backing up Blake Griffin. But the guy who I'm almost upset about is Bassey, and that he's my favorite player on the squad, but he was also the only point guard this team has, a tested point guard. He was a true point, and who knows how Flynn or Rubio work out. I mean, I think you can't really base anything on summer league, you know, see Randy Foy and Jared Bayless, but you got the sense that Flynn is going to work as a point. You know, he looked for passing. He could score, you know, with all that added space that he had outside of the zone in college. He was really able to bounce off people and do a lot of good things. Go ahead.
Going back to, the chatter around summer league amongst not only bloggers, but Kevin Arnovitz had a thing where he was, you know, he has access to more people than I do, but everybody was very impressed with Johnny Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, could get to the rack at will. I think part of that, you know, I wrote in my recap, Washington looked like they chose not to adjust. And I was talking to Mike Prada, the Bullets Forever blogger, really nice kid, by the way. And he was saying he was talking to somebody related to Washington, and, you know, they were really going to run their scheme and not adjust. They were really looking to teach their players their scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't adjust to Flynn, but, you know, not just that. It took the Hornets. They started to press Flynn whenever he was bringing the ball up, not to get a steal, just to slow down the offense, because he was that dangerous, and everybody there recognized it.
He was getting everybody open shots. And getting back to Bassey for a second, one of the things that, you know, everyone's seen Rubio, I think, in the Olympic game, and they've seen the YouTube stuff. But I think beyond that, most people don't really know what he's going to bring. And, you know, I've always written on Hoopus about he's a complete unknown, and that if there's a risk in this draft, he's probably the biggest one, that you have an 18-year-old point with a iffy jumper who turns it over a lot, who has tremendous facilitation numbers, but beyond that, you don't know what you're getting, and you have no idea whether he's going to be able to play NBA minutes at the one, because he hasn't played a ton of minutes in the EuroLeague or in the Spanish League. So right now, you know, Flynn, I can buy the argument that he's going to be ready to go from day one. But with Rubio, even if he comes over, I just don't see that, you know, Bobby Brown is going to be the backup then. I mean, they're thin at that position now as well. So I really don't know that Rubio and Flynn are going to be enough from the get-go. And even with Brown, Bassey would have been nice to have right there, even for this year. And I understand that they wanted to move him and get the money off the books next year. But they're going to be short there this year, even with Rubio.
Yep.
So is there anything you have to say about Richardson coming back the other way? I really have no thoughts on the guy, though, that I remember him doing the headband thing, and he shoots a lot of threes, especially when he was in the 7 seconds or less for that 1 year.
Yeah, you know, there's two things about Richardson. You know, a lot of people are just, you know, bum. And if people check out Basketball Reference, you can see that he's really only had 2 good years. And even in those years, he was shooting, boy, I don't even know if he made it above 40% from the field. And that was, you know, one of them was 7 seconds or less. Mm-hmm. And the other one was his last year with the Clips when he was playing for a contract. But so, obviously, he was playing for a contract that year. But even after he got his deal, he was playing his butt off for the Suns. Now, that was a good system for him. They gave green light to three-point shooters, so I'm sure he liked that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was obviously still trying really hard after he got his big contract. So he, you know, it wasn't an issue of effort or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think the big thing with him was his back. He's got a bad back, and that really limited his games a couple years. And you know, bad back's a big deal. I think that really limits your mobility. And so if you're a player who's, you know, relied upon to get up and down the court and to get open on the perimeter and wait for kickouts and find those passing lanes, you know, a bad back can really hinder your ability to do that. So that's too bad. I think, you know, he can play. If he's still with the team on opening day, he's obviously going to be the starting shooting guard. They're not going to start rookie Wayne Ellington over him. Ellington's very good. He looked good in summer league, but I can't see them starting him over Richardson. If Richardson's healthy. And so I don't think we can expect a whole lot from him, but we don't need a whole lot from him, you know. And the other thing that I think gets overlooked by Richardson, of Richardson a lot, is he's a good rebounder from the two. Mm-hmm. You know, again, maybe his back and mobility might hinder that, and maybe part of his stellar rebounding numbers that was part of the 7 seconds or less offense. But he is an above-average rebounder from the two. Obviously, we're a really strong rebounding team already up front. But, you know, if there are things that he brings, it's three-point shooting and rebounding.
Okay. Well, we'll take one more break before we come back to talk about what happens next. And you're listening to Hoopus on the Radio.